C-Cat thinks Miami's dead in the water. Mike Rizzo's inviting every Nigerian prince scammer into the office, into the comfort of our workplace. I have been relatively safe. Hurricane Milton's on his way. Whole lot's going on. Every team is losing. The Bills don't know how to hold a how to run the ball at the end of the game to play for OT. Jacksonville won. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. C-Cat behind the glass, Mike Rizzo across from me, Colin Russo here at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. C-Cat likes to overreact. Mike overreacts from time to time. I'm guilty of overreacting. Let's get to some Overreaction Monday presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sound the alarm. Let's jump to conclusions. There's no room for reason. It's Overreaction Monday.
Oh, how could I be so stupid?
Presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Who said at the end? Is that you?
That's not me.
No, I don't think they asked him to record that. Can you record that? Record what?
Can you record you laughing like a maniac?
Hey, C-Cat, found out your great-grandpa died. Let me get you behind a mic real quick. That's what it sounds like. That was a very sad cry.
A plea for help.
Yes.
Overreaction Monday presented by Hard Rock Bet. Week 5, most of it at least, in the books on the NFL side of things. Week 6 in college football away and gone. MLB playoffs in the thick of it at the moment. Yankees playing the Royals tonight. And, of course, on the other side of things, the Guardians' first pitch probably just happened against the Tigers in Cleveland.
Need to put that on.
Mets had a tight one yesterday. And the Padres tied it up against the Dodgers, both teams going back to San Diego and Philadelphia. What is our overreaction? Let's go around the room.
Okay.
And let's do one each. And we'll do it twice. So two total. I want Mike to start. I think you, Christian Cat, should go second. I'll go third. How's that? Does that work?
That works.
All righty. Mike Rizzo, take it away. What's your first overreaction of the week?
My overreaction of the week is that the Jets are going to have a losing record. That's my overreaction of the week. I thought the Jets could float anywhere from 9 to 10 wins this year. I thought the early half of their schedule was pretty easy with the Titans, the Patriots, the Broncos. And at the time, I thought that Viking game was kind of a shoo-in at home. But I'm going to go with the Jets having a losing record because Bills at Steelers, Texans, Colts, Seahawks, Rams, Bills. I don't see how this thing gets turned around. Rodgers now has a sore ankle. The coach is doomed to be fired. Give me the Jets with the losing record.
Christian Cat.
Joe Flacco's a Hall of Famer.
Wow, that's a pretty good one.
Joe Flacco had the best quarterback postseason of all time with the Ravens.
It's a good overreaction.
Hold on. Because of what he did on Sunday against the Jags, a game in which he lost, he's a Hall of Famer.
I've seen enough from him. He's gone to two different franchises and revived their offense when his number was called.
What was it, 356 and three touchdowns?
Played a good game. I saw it.
For my guy Big Bird, I miss Flacco so much, dude.
No picks. You see his scramble? Did you see his freaking scramble of 22 yards?
Now he's a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
I don't think Flacco's a Hall of Famer.
He won his Super Bowl. I don't think it's, to Colin's point, I don't think he has the numbers. But
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a gamer. Guy knows how to win for years.
Has Flacco, he's a good postseason performer. Has he ever been a top six quarterback at any point in time in the entire NFL career?
In the offseason, between the Super Bowl win and when he went back onto the field with that whole roster gutted by the Ravens, he was considered top five. And then he played the first game, and then everyone was like, you know what, that was pretty dumb. Joe Flacco has done this thing twice now. Who, if you were to ask me 3 years ago.
He's the best backup in the league, though. He's by far the best backup in the league.
He might be the best backup of all time.
Oh, God. Probably not.
Best backup of all time, is it Foles?
Does
he win a Super Bowl?
He's got no business doing what he's doing
right now.
Steve
Young was a backup.
He's a geriatric.
Hold on, Steve Young was a backup. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
It's a good one, Colin.
He is.
What Joe Flacco is doing, there should be stories written about. Brought the Browns to the playoffs last year. He might do the same with the Colts. I'm not going to say it's not Anthony Richardson's job anymore, but you know what? Flacco keeps outplaying him. He's got no choice.
Flacco doesn't make mistakes like Richardson does, which is why that has worked.
That seems to be pretty valuable in a quarterback, no? Not making mistakes. His arm's over 359
what
yesterday.
What do you want to do? Build a statue outside Lucas Oil Stadium because he competed with the worst team in the league?
Somebody's got to.
Listen, that's, he did everything I thought to win that game. I wouldn't
agree.
Put the loss on him.
I agree. I think Jacksonville played well. I think they caught Jacksonville on a good day. So, and they can't win in Jacksonville. Ten years they haven't won in Jacksonville. You know that? 10 years. It's not like Jacksonville's winning 10 games a year, I'll tell you that.
Doing that with Alec Pierce, Josh Downs. That's Joseph freaking Flacco to you.
Go I ahead, got Colin. My overreaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Broncos are going to be a playoff team.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
That's a heck of an overreaction.
Broncos. 3-2.
Right?
3-2. Defensively, masterclass against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Masterclass against the Jets. You can say whatever you want. And then yesterday, after a terrible start in which the Raiders had got off to a fast start, defense started lighting it up. I'm in on the Broncos. Nix is going to continue to improve. He's got a lot of issues, I understand. But they got a good head coach, a proven head coach, a winning head coach, and they got a good defense.
To Colin's point, the games they lost by 6 at Seattle, and Nix played awful. They lost by 7 at home against Pittsburgh. Nix played awful. So you could argue, you know, what did the Jets fans used to tell me?
Riz, all we need is a decent quarterback.
You could argue if you got good quarterback play from Bo Nix, they could possibly be 5-0.
3-2. Their next 3?
Yeah.
Chargers at home, at the Saints, Panthers at home. That could be 2-1. 2-1 all of a sudden, huh? 5-3?
Are they the second best team in their division? They're better than the Khaki Pants' Chargers?
I think just off of health and availability alone, there's a conversation. Watch them get a playoff bid.
Does this feeling that the Broncos are going to make the playoffs, did seeing Sean Payton and Bo Nix go at it on the sideline yesterday in a win, does that help or hurt your opinion on the team?
No problem with that. Payton's a difficult guy to deal with, and Breeze is, I know, a soft-spoken leader, but in a lot of ways, this is good. This is not a quarterback turmoil in the locker room because he's a rookie. I like this. That's my overreaction.
And Bo Nix is like 33 years old anyway, so that's an adult talking to an adult.
But he's tough. That's the thing about Nix. He's tough. He's resilient. He doesn't care what happens. First possession of his college career, he threw a god-awful interception for Auburn, and then he played great for the rest of the game against Oregon. I remember it.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah, I was betting on the on Auburn, so that was a legendary moment
been,
in my drunk
he's
life.
He's always been a resilient player. Watch the Broncos make the postseason. Mike, one more.
The Buckeyes will win the national championship. I think the SEC...
You were ready to...
I was.
You were ready to call fire.
The only reason is I don't know how healthy these SEC teams are going to be by the time that the college football playoff comes around. I'm the first to admit this. I'm a Big Ten guy, okay? The SEC is an incredible conference right now. They have so many good teams within that conference. I think they're going to eat each other. And I think the Buckeyes are going to be able to take care of business in at least one of their two tough games. I think they're going to win one out of the two between Penn State and Oregon. I think they're going to win the Big Ten. They're going to get the bye. And I think when the playoffs come around, they're going to be ready to go. They're going to be healthier than these other teams. Now, you could rarely predict injury. And I know that sounds like what I'm doing here. But I think with their talent on the defensive end, and, I mean, we out-physicaled Iowa to the death on Saturday. Say what you want about Iowa, how bad of a team they are. That is a physical football team who usually keeps games respectable. We blew the doors off of them in the second half. And I overreacted like a true Buckeye fan in that first half. I texted Colin. I'm like, God, sorry about the spread. They had that thing covered within 2 minutes of the second half, by the way. But I think Ohio State wins the whole thing just because of how beat up some of these SEC teams are going to be. And I know we have a huge one in Oregon this weekend.
Yeah,
and I'm very afraid of that game.
Jury's out because we haven't seen them in a tight game.
But I think Iowa and Michigan State aren't as much as dreads as we may think. You know, the SEC looks at those wins and goes, you know, you beat Iowa and Michigan State. What, do you want a damn trophy? I hear you. But I think the way we have won, too, 38-7, 35-7 at home after only being up 7-0 at halftime. My fear is if they start the way they did against Oregon, they're going to be down 2-3 scores like Georgia was against Alabama and Tuscaloosa.
You want to know what one of the great disgraces of all time is? Imagine the spread of Oregon-Michigan State being 23.5.
Oh, yeah, and it was on Friday night.
It was 31-0 with 9 minutes to go against Michigan State. Michigan State scores, fine. Whatever, big deal. Get the ball back with 25 seconds left in a 31-7 game. They kick the field goal to cover.
Got to keep the boosters happy.
There is no way you can convince me that these teams don't know and they are not. This is not in the consideration. That is a disgrace.
It is. Agreed.
And you phonies took that pick. And sure, that has something to do with me being upset by this. But that is a disgrace. That is the worst thing. 25 seconds left? That's a little rough.
Okay. You can go a couple ways with this, right? Because what's the objective of your offense? To score as many points as possible and win the game.
It was 31-7.
Go for the end zone.
With 20 seconds left. Kneel.
Go home.
Go in the locker room. This is stupid. What a disgrace.
I would have just went for the end zone. I don't know. You know, at that point, take one last play, throw it up in the air, and move on with your life.
You got an overreaction, C-Cat?
When I die, I will be named a saint. You'll be hearing about St. Christian Cat. And why is that, you might ask?
Is this your overreaction? Oh.
Yes. That's my overreaction. That I will be named a saint when I pass by. Why is that, you might ask? Hurricane Milton's on its way. And I said, damn it, I can't sit here and sit idly by, or these dogs are in animal shelters, going to get rainy, going to get wet, going to be flooded. So we are short-term fostering two different dogs from two different shelters.
You are?
Yeah. My girlfriend just picked up the dog named Hodor from the Palm Beach County Animal Shelter.
Hold the door.
Wait, so you have two dogs or you already have a dog?
I have two dogs already, and we were in a short-term foster two other dogs.
Sea Cat's running a kennel for Hurricane Milton.
This is a gamble. You don't know what type of dogs these are.
We vetted them. They've got their shots.
You vetted? No, not
they're healthy.
Yeah, they're not rabid. I understand that. But, like, how are they going to, what's the camaraderie going to be like?
We've done this in the past a couple of years ago, and the only problem was letting go of these dogs because they really found a spot in our heart. But, and I say this to say this now, if you want to help out, make sure you reach out to your local animal shelter. Yeah, the Palm Beach County Animal Shelter, because they are looking for more short-term fosters. They take care of everything, the food, the supplies, and the support. They just need you to provide a safe, loving space during the critical time. Free up some space for their shelter, and you save another life in the making.
Jokes aside, C-Cat, that's awesome, bro. Yeah. Seriously. Fair play on you, brother.
What do you have to say about that, Colin? Do you also want to congratulate me on being a good person and being made a saint?
I wouldn't make you a saint.
I don't like you publicizing.
I'd vote against it.
Actually,
if there was a vote in like a common room, I would vote against it.
This had to be your girlfriend's idea.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It certainly was.
See, I got to the bottom of it.
I signed off on it.
Got to the bottom of it.
Listen, is it a good thing? Keep the dogs happy. Now, I'm worried about the dog's camaraderie. If you get a little rascal, there's a real... I'm going to hold my tongue here. I was going to say, there's a reason they're in the shelter.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
You don't know what type of dog this is.
I've got my clubhouse.
There's a reason he's there.
I would not bring a clubhouse cancer into this locker room.
You're right.
Hodor is going to fit right in.
Listen,
he's going to be a glue guy. He's going to be a Jazz Chisholm on the Yankees.
Okay. There's examples where this doesn't work out. But, okay. Yeah, are you going to screw up the mojo?
accfoster@pbc.gov. Email them, reach out, help out, save a life.
What a Boise guy.
DJ, you just brought in DJ Uwagalele into Florida State.
Definitely
no, these dogs have no NIL deals. They're not being paid nothing.
You just brought in DJ coming off an undefeated season, riding high.
No. This is Diego Pavia.
And you got this dog who's transferred three times.
This is New Mexico State, Diego Pavia. I brought him in, and he's going to beat Alabama.
You brought in a locker room cancer. Unbelievable.
Haven't even met Hodor. I'm going to bring him in tomorrow. Show him off.
Is he named after the Game of Thrones character?
I would guess.
I got to assume.
Did you see Game of Thrones, guys?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I would guess.
What's your final overreaction on Overreaction Monday, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet?
Nicey cut.
Mets are going to the World Series, and they lost yesterday, and it was a good loss.
Their bullpen failed them.
Three times since last Monday. I know we got a Phillies fan watching this.
Oh, Terry.
Three times since Monday, three different players the Mets have gotten a 2 or 3 run shot to tie it up or take the lead in 3 different MLB ballparks for 3 playoff NL teams. Atlanta, Milwaukee on Thursday, and then yesterday with Vientos' homer to tie it up at 6. This is magic. It doesn't matter if they lost. Oozing magic. This team's making all the way.
How about Castellanos? I mean, Philly fans hate Castellanos, I feel like, and all he does is hit big home runs in big moments.
During tragedies. Have you ever seen this?
I think John Otero, RMC, by the way, Philly fan, I think he was telling me about this earlier.
The day Castellanos hit his first homer in the minors, and he hit like 2 homers over like 152 games, was the day Osama bin Laden was killed in Operation Desert Spear, I want to say, or whatever it was. But that happened. He hits homers famously during the Tom Brenneman situation. He hits homers when stuff goes wrong. There's a whole list.
The day Trump got shot. I think he hit a home run on that day.
He did a home run that day.
Wow.
Castellanos, I'll find it next break. But that's my overreaction. I think the Mets are going to make the run here. Going back to Citi Field with 2 at home. They got Manaea going next. I'm a little concerned about that. But they got magic.
I can hardly say starting pitching, Colin. I mean, Sebi went 6 innings, 3 earned, 7 strikeouts. You know, even on the other side for the Phillies too, Sanchez goes 5 innings and keeps it under 3. It's been the story of whose bullpen can outlast each other, I feel like, this playoffs. I know that Padre and Dodger game was crazy. I feel like that's the outlier last night, but
Darvish pitched well. I'm surprised. And he got out of that when bases loaded, 1 out.
Yeah, you're not a Darvish guy.
No, you need 2 hands to count how many games he's blown in the postseason. Nonetheless, that was Overreaction Monday, presented by Hard Rock Bet on Russo and Rizzo, live here on ESPN 106.3. A couple overreactions that are quite concerning there. But nonetheless, that was a whole lot of fun. Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. On the flip side of things, what were the Bills doing yesterday? Get back in the game, claw their way back in. Sean McDermott, questionable call once again. We get to that next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, there's nobody that's going to be crowned a champion this week in this landscape of college football, in the landscape of MLB, in the landscape of the NFL. But at least there's a couple past champions. Mike could tell us all about a past champion in Kaiser University. Mike, what's going on with
that? Current champion.
Yes, current champion. So the Kaiser Seahawks are the current champions of football, and they have a plethora of championships across their sports. I mean, you go into their gym. We were there for our top 63. And by the way, I'm wearing my top 63 shirt today. You see that?
I do.
When we do our top 63 at Kaiser, you see all the championships scattered across. Folks, check it out. Kaiser University is the place to be to watch some great sports. And I want to remind everybody, too, I'm the color broadcaster for the Kaiser Seahawks. Cyrus Witten does play-by-play. I'm on the color for all of the Kaiser home games this season. Now, I will not be at the one this weekend, and I don't even know if weather will permit us to even play a game coming up this weekend, but I will not be at the one coming up on Saturday.
Where are you going to be?
But I got more family. Colin, all I do is host people.
Who's coming into town?
My Uncle Patrick. I think my dad's coming into town, so got a lot
packed
of people
weekend.
Coming. Yeah, packed weekend again. But Kaiser University, folks, go check them out. Championships across all of their sports. The Kaiser University Seahawks. And also their flag football team, our intern Ashley. She's on the flag football team. They went all the way to the championship last year, hoping they could win a championship this year.
Kaiser University champions, the reigning football champions.
NAIA, baby.
63 conference tournament titles. Wow. Including a Learfield Cup trophy. Russo and Rizzo live here on ESPN 106.3, 888-760-3776. The number to get into the program, 888-760-3776. The Bills yesterday fall behind early against the Houston Texans after a terrible loss a week ago against the Baltimore Ravens. Bills fall behind early, claw their way back in a lot of senses, even force a stop with about a minute to go, tied at 20. Had the ball at their own 3 or 4 yard line, 30 seconds to go. Texans have 3 timeouts. The Bills have none. Not enough time for a miraculous drive to get back into the game and win. Probably not, you'd assume. What do the Bills do? They essentially 3 straight firing shots downfield from Josh Allen, one to Mac Hollins and company. They take off 8 or 9 seconds total off the clock and punt it back. A tight punt. All of a sudden, Texans have 3 timeouts, get a 10-yard return, 12-yard return. They're at field goal range. Lose the game. Do we have a problem, Mike? Do you have a problem with McDermott there, with that scheduling and how he did that clock management?
I do.
Is it getting overrated a little
bit? No. I do have a problem with it. How many times have I been telling you Buffalo hasn't been able to run the ball for the last decade that they've almost had Josh Allen?
Well, it's been solid this year and last year with James Cook in the mix, but I understand.
Then when the head coach is, you know, he's taking ownership of it, right? I mean, after the game, Sean McDermott basically said, hey, you know, the clock management stuff's on me and we'll be better for it. It's bad. It's bad decision-making, and a head coach of Sean McDermott's caliber, quite frankly, I'm shocked. I go to bat for McDermott. I go to bat for this Buffalo Bill team. You know, I know the Bills are, what, the lovable losers, whatever you want to call them. You know, in the 90s, they went to all those Super Bowls and never got it done. Recently, they missed the field goal to tie it against the Chiefs. They didn't get the ball back against the Chiefs in the playoffs. There's always something with the Bills when it comes to competing for a Super Bowl. And I don't think we're on that level yet. It's just too early on in the year. They won their first 3 games against 3 subpar opponents, but now they've played 2 good opponents and they're 0-2. Colin, if you remember last week, you know, I got to eat some crow. I thought this was a game that the Bills were going to win. I thought this was going to be kind of a get right game for the Bills after losing 35-10 against the Ravens on primetime. And Josh Allen played a bad game. I mean, 9 of 30.
Terrible.
Allen threw 9 of 30, and this is 2 games in a row now that Josh Allen, who I rate very highly, who I'm still going to make excuses for because I think he is the second best quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes, but this is his second bad performance. What happens if they lose to the Jets? You know, I told you guys, we did Overreaction Monday presented by Hard Rock. I told you guys the Jets are going to have a losing record, but Colin, if the Jets do beat the Bills next week on primetime on Monday Night Football, the Jets will be number 1 in that division because you got the Patriots and the Dolphins who are miserable. So you better win next week. You better win next week. And that's 3 road games in a row at Baltimore, at Houston, and at New York. I don't think any Bills supporter in their wildest dreams thought they would be 0-3. Now, obviously, we still got to play the game at New York, but the way they're playing, I'm not convinced they could beat anybody at the moment.
Yeah, Bills have not been playing well. And Sean McDermott, a couple of times now throughout his, I think, 8 years in Buffalo where there's just brain farts. And they shoot themselves in the foot, whether it's an over-aggression thing, letting Josh Allen do his thing. This has happened a couple of times. So I don't. Now, another thing to that, the Texans were going to call timeouts anyway, probably. And if they ran the ball a handful of times, yeah, coming from their own 4 and got stopped, the same thing might have happened. But the idea that you didn't take off any time off the clock, you didn't even give them a chance, and you just took a bunch of Hail Mary shots, it's lazy. It's stupid. And it burned you. And now you get, now this looks bad. Am I ready to call fire? Probably not. But the Bills, it's almost like they're trying to be something they're not. They have to let the game come to them, and enough hero ball.
The Bills historically the last couple of years, I feel like, go through these ruts, right? If it's in the middle of the season or in the beginning of the season. But at the end of the year, they usually figure it out and start playing and really start playing good football. I wonder if that's just the case right now. You know, like, for instance, last year, One, two, three, four, five. They won five games in a row to end the year. They won at Kansas City. They beat Dallas. They won at Los Angeles. They beat New England and Miami. We see them get right at the hot time. I don't want to steal a baseball reference, but in baseball, you know, you got to get right at the hot time. That's a lot of the argument. The problem is the Bills get hot at the end of the year and then fall flat on their face in the playoffs. So would I like them to win one of those games against good opponents with the Ravens and the Texans? Yes. But as long as Josh Allen is healthy, I know he got banged up in that game. You know, I know he more, nonetheless, a lot of people are questioning if he should have been playing in the game. But as long as Allen is healthy, Colin, I think they're a threat. And I think that at any given moment, they could go on a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, it's almost a matter of getting in your own way has hurt them, and you lose a bad game. And that's a game that could always have a head-to-head tiebreaker implications. Yeah.
They can't afford bad coaching, though. Yeah. McDermott can't afford to do stupid
now,
stuff like that.
Now, there's no guarantee that that game would have went to overtime, and there's no guarantee that they would have won had they went to overtime. But the idea that you sort of handed the game to the Texans in a lot of sense, questionable. Head-scratching. It's very strange. And I don't think it's anything to freak out about in Armageddon, but nonetheless, I do think that was a questionable decision right now. With the Detroit and the Cleveland Guardians playing game two right now in Cleveland, Tarek Skubal's on the mound. Cleveland, of course, leads that series 1-0 after a very defiant victory in
game one.
David
Fry, baby. Let's go.
Didn't even hesitate to blow the game open in game one. But Tarek Skubal on the mound, Detroit desperate need of evening back this series a little bit before they head back to Detroit. We get into some baseball. The Yankees, of course, Yankee fan behind the glass, Christian Catt. Mm-hmm. They got the Royals tonight at 7:38. Carlos Rodon on the mound against Cole Reagans. Mets-Phillies, another fantastic game. Fantastic baseball over the weekend. We get into that more next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
On ESPN 106.3, you heard? The Texas Rangers win the World Series.
He struck him out looking. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series.
This is ESPN 106.3, where champions are crowned.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
A quick run-through of what happened over the weekend on the baseball side of things. MLB Divisional Series are rolling through right now. Game one's all on Saturday, a four-game stretch, a full slate. Guardians, of course, the aforementioned Guardians who are playing right now in game two. Throttled the Tigers early and often, 7-0 in that one. The Mets, of course, turned it around the second after a great start from Zach Wheeler for the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mets turned it around and attacked the bullpen the second Wheeler gets out of there after seven scoreless. The Yankees, on the other hand, in a back-and-forth ugly match against the Kansas City Royals where a lot of back-and-forth occurred. It was a lot of battle of the bullpens.
And a bad call.
And a bad Jazz Chisholm call.
Bad call.
Which allowed them to be the go-ahead run.
Oh, New York getting calls? Shocker.
Yeah, and I agree. It was a bad call. But another thing I'll say to that is the Royals were walked in freaking three runs. So at a certain point, you don't put yourself in that position. Dodgers, on the other hand, a bit of a back and forth. Ohtani, second at bat, locks a three-run shot. They played again yesterday. That series is tied at 1-1. Who's the ultimate winner of the weekend there? Are you going to say your Guardians?
Depending on what happens today, but I mean, I know it's Monday, 7-0. You can't argue that. You know, I feel like we could go down the line on teams that played and could make an excuse for each. Like the Mets had it won yesterday, not won, but they had momentum and they screwed themselves over. The Yankees got a call. And how about can I give you a loser of the weekend? Can I give you a loser?
Okay.
Dodger fans. They were throwing stuff on the field last night. They were getting active with Profar. How about Profar's robbery, too? One of the best catches you'll see in postseason.
I thought that whole situation
was a little put on.
I really
Yeah,
don't.
And to have the presence of mind to put it on was incredible. In a playoff game, to rob a home run and not immediately give in to the impulse of, oh my God, this is an incredible play. I'm fired up in enemy territory. No, he had the presence of mind to fool America. That's incredible. Come on.
Guardians and Padres. Those would be my two winners from both.
Well, I'm a Profar guy. My initial headphones, my Bose headphones that I had that broke a couple of years ago, were named Jurickson Profar.
It's a weird thing to do.
Why are you naming your headphones?
It's like Bluetooth. You can name it.
Oh, sorry.
And I named it Jurickson Profar.
Well, yeah, he was a good Oakland Athletic at the time.
He was not. He was a six hitter, but he blossomed a little bit when he got to San Diego. He used to be the number one prospect in baseball. But I think that was a little put on. They stopped the game for 20 minutes. Let's go. Oh, my God. You're sitting there. Darvish is like doing air squats on the mound, just waiting for this game to get going again. Talking about player safety. The guys are fine. Get him out in the outfield.
Well, Collins guy, you Darvish dealing, man.
I mean, he escaped that third inning when they had the bases loaded. But, yeah, Darvish pitched well. I'm not going to lie there. But Darvish, he stinks.
Yeah, but stinks. I question Jack Flaherty. You know, you start to look at that Dodger starting pitching staff and go, all right, you know, Yamamoto, Flaherty, do they have enough starting pitching to maybe go on a run?
They have pitching enough, period. They're going to have to hit their way out of every game. That was the theme after game one. Mm-hmm. When they had Treinen in there at the end of the game, and they were edging out every out. Oh, boy, you could tell that Dodgers are going to need to hit their way out of every single game the entire way.
I mean, from the sixth inning on, it was, you know, the home run derby. Merrill homer, Bogarts homer.
Yeah.
The catcher homer, Tatis homered.
They blew it open. But from what I saw from game one, if the Dodgers can maybe sneak a start here and there, that's pretty solid. But they're going to need to hit their way out of every game. The Padres do both. They can pitch and they can hit. And they hit early. So, yeah, the Padres got the edge on that one. But that whole stoppage of play, oh, God, start the game.
So you're talking about the fans throwing stuff on the field?
Yeah, it's stupid. I know Dodger fans are miserable people, but the idea that...
I mean, why are you throwing stuff on? It's disgraceful.
Profar was ready to cry. Dude, get a grip. All right? Unclutch your pearls. All right, everything's going to be okay.
We were arguing about two different things. I was talking about robbing the home run.
Yeah, I know. He's talking about people throwing and stuff at him.
Ah.
Did you see him talking to the umpire? And yeah. Like the whole team had to get together in the infield? Guys, come on. This is stupid.
Like it's a death to disco night?
Guys, they threw a water at you. All right. Geez, have you been to a game in Oakland? Like, come on. This is what they do.
So you asked who won the weekend. Got to be the Phillies for me. That team was dead in the water. I had Philly fans in group chats that I went to college with essentially playing the piano on the Titanic about their season already.
They do this,
talking about how it's over, we're dead, why do we care, trade Castellanos, and then all of a sudden, with two swings of the bat on three pitches, Harper, gone. Castellanos, gone. Tie ball game 3-3, and it all changed like that. Because if they're down 2-0, going back to New York, season's over.
But like, if you're a Philly fan, you got to know that you're never out of it. How many times, like, I know the Phillies don't have any hardware.
If you're a Met fan, you're never out of it. You are never out. You are never dead.
But for the last 2 years, the Phillies have been able to mount comebacks in the playoffs. So, like, I guess to sit there and go, woe is me, trade Castellanos, and it's the sixth inning and we're done. Like, I don't know. It's a bit foul for me.
I agree. I think the Philly fans are so overrated, especially John O'Terry, who's in the office. These guys are, imagine game one. All I heard all week from our Philly fans was how great of a home field Citizens Bank Park is and how it's an impossible place to play baseball. That's all I heard. That's all you hear from Philly fans. Oh, it's Red October and you can't get anything. You can't hear the pitch comm. It was the eighth inning after that explosion by the Mets in game one, and there's empty seats behind home plate. You guys are so full of it. It's incredible. Thinking that they're riding on the high. I can't deal with that. What an overrated fan base. You know, it was. You could hear a pin drop after that Vientos homer. There was no energy in that building. The Philly fan is so overrated. Such a little brother New York school of people. They let's think about this for a second. They have a rare amount of success. The Eagles have been, you know, in and out. But the idea that they're trying to make a name for themselves as a city, but all they're known as is the second fiddle, the little brother to New York. And that's what they try to be. And it doesn't work. Empty seats behind home plate, game one, bottom eight? Really? Stupid. Waste of time. And I saw it in a bunch of phonies. Oh, all those fans. I can't deal with it.
Can they win in New York?
Yeah. But I think the Mets are oozing magic. So that it's going to be terrific. They wasted a Wheeler start. That's what they did. Zach Wheeler was terrific. The Mets were dead in the water. Dead. I thought the Mets were screwed after those first seven innings. And then all of a sudden, they take Wheeler out in the eighth. They blow it open. That's the Mets. Incredible.
I don't know. I feel like we're looking at two parallel teams that feel like it's their destiny. They somehow win these games they shouldn't. Both the Mets and the Phillies. And maybe I'm fantasizing about 2 years ago Phillies right now. But I don't know. That Castellanos solo home run to tie it kind of did it
for
me.
Hoffman and Strom were horrific. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, Strom's consistently great.
That's what I mean. But you're to pin it all, I feel like, on Strom would kind of be unfair just because how great he was, right? I mean, I know he blew the game, but like that happens sometimes.
There's lifeless offense in game one, lifeless. And all of a sudden, Wheeler's out and they blow the game open. I know the bats were asleep, but geez, come on. A little help for Zach Wheeler wouldn't hurt. Jeez, that was ridiculous. But this is what the Mets do. The last two innings are the best team I've ever seen. It's incredible.
Vientos really, that was really impressive, honestly.
He's making himself millions and millions of dollars with his postseason performance. But I think the Mets are going to be, that magic is going to be tough to beat, especially in New York. With that phony Citizens Bank Park in the rearview mirror at this point, the Mets have a chance here. I think it'll go five, but that favors the Mets in a lot of ways.
Those fans are going to be ready to go.
They did it in Milwaukee. They did it in Atlanta. They might do it again in Philly.
That
would be the biggest screw you to the rest of the NL.
How excited are those Mets fans to get home, too? They've been on the road for what now? Four straight games, two to end the year?
They've been on the road for like 3 weeks.
That's what I mean, right?
They were on the road in the Atlantic series, and all of a sudden the hurricane came through. So they went to Milwaukee, then they went back to Atlanta, then they went back to Milwaukee, and then now they went to Philly.
Yeah. They've been home. They haven't been home in a while. Those fans are going to be rabid. Talk about rabid dogs.
And the big loser of the weekend has got to be Detroit, running out of gas. So they didn't even bother. At least every other team showed a little bit of life.
No, they tried to do the same thing they did in game two against Houston. They started Holton, I believe. That blew up in their face. But you know, I was fist pumping on the YouTube stream because the guards, you know, there were two runners on, one out. The guards got out of it. But Scooble has his stuff. I don't even think I have to watch us taking at bat until the sixth or seventh inning when Scooble's out of the game. And on the flip side of things right now, Matthew Boyd, former Detroit Tiger, who the Guardians basically picked up for a pack of Starburst, is starting today.
If you could book the World Series as if this is wrestling, where you just pick the matchup for your biggest enjoyment and for the betterment of the country, who would you book right now?
For the betterment of the country, Dodgers-Yankees. But what I think is going to happen is going to be Mets-Yankees.
Yeah, Dodgers-Yankees would have countrywide appeal.
Yeah, see, the Yankees were concerning because Judge played like crap. But it was the first game in a week, and you didn't get a lot out of Cole and Judge, and you still won. You got to take that.
I feel like I tried. Dude, Judge in the playoffs just isn't it.
It's been one game.
Seven days prior.
That guy is a strikeout king in the playoffs. Strikeout king in the playoffs.
He's had one complete bad playoff year. You look at the years outside of 2022.
He hasn't been a great postseason.
He is not.
I didn't say that. I said he had one horrible playoff year.
But like, I'm not going to let this just go by the wayside. Like, Judge has been a bad postseason player.
Yeah,
he was one in 1 year.
I don't think you could chalk up that he's just never going to show up ever again.
Oh, I'm not arguing.
He might hit three homers tonight,
brother. I'm not saying it's set in stone. But from what I saw, the disgrace that he was in game one. And recency bias for the last 2 years, guy's got to do something here.
Yeah, but you know what's great? Juan Soto is as elite of a postseason player as you could find, and their bullpen pitched well. And the biggest question coming into the season was support for Judge and bullpen. And in a lot of ways, with Torres hitting a homer and this and that, that support is a positive for the Yankees. The fact that their bullpen, Conley and Weaver, pitching well, Holmes, I think, gives you a little bit of that's what the Yankees need. Cole didn't do well, and they were able to edge out that victory. Lucky, but they were able to edge out that victory. What's your take tonight? They got the Royals game two tonight. Rodon's on the mound. This is the second game they play. They have a lot of days off here.
Yeah.
And it's a bad scheduling.
It's a
bad scheduling.
Butchery of Major League Baseball. What advantage do the Yankees even have now other than getting more of the five games at home when you're giving all of these days off willy-nilly?
I was upset.
And they don't play tomorrow.
Excuse me. I was upset the guards didn't play yesterday, too. I thought everyone should have played yesterday, but that's just me.
I think they're trying to split up the Mondays. They don't want anybody to travel in between games also NFL.
And they didn't want the Yankees up against the football.
Sure.
I understand.
But
start the series on Friday.
Yeah, you're only screwing one wild card team, and that's the Mets, but I understand your point.
Travel day on NFL Sunday, and you play game three on Monday.
Well, they're trying to mix it up because they're trying to avoid the NFL actively, and I think they don't want... You can't have no baseball each day, I think, after the Friday, during the divisional series. I think a collective off day would be a little rough.
I think America would appreciate a baseball off day in the playoffs on NFL Sunday, collectively, because you feel like you're missing out. How many baseball fans are out there that don't watch a lick of NFL football? Not many.
I think
watch both.
I think that Met and Philly game was better than any game played on Sunday yesterday.
There was a lot of good games yesterday. I don't know if I'd say that, but it was a good game.
I think that baseball game was better than anything the NFL had yesterday.
It was a great game.
But I also love baseball. So like I know people that are listening right now couldn't care less about baseball. But
the thing
is, it's a great game.
It's TV scheduling. You got to understand that. You can't think about the actual fit. You got to think about TV scheduling.
Yeah. Okay. Avoiding football altogether on Sunday would be good for TV ratings.
It's beneficial, but you're gonna have to. They do that with the World Series. They're doing that with the World Series. No Sundays, no Thursdays, and they have like one Saturday, and it'd be Game 7. So they're avoiding it. But the problem is, you're gonna have to get killed for 1 or 2 days. The way they didn't handle it right is the travel days with the Yankees. They're have to sit around in New York for a day in between. I agree, it's stupid, and they didn't handle it right. Now the Yankees are playing two games in 9 days.
From a Yankees fan perspective, you asked my thoughts on this. Like you said, bad game from Cole, bad game from Judge.
And they still won.
Aaron Judge, his over on total bases tonight. That's what I'll say on Hard Rock Bet. Aaron Judge is going to show up, and he's going to shut a lot of people up. Really? Guaranteed.
Reagans is good. So you got Reagans on the mound, but I guess you just got to get to the bullpen. That's strategic, that Quartararo... the manager of Kansas City likes to do the strategic three, like, you know, a new pitcher for every three batters based on matchups. That's not going to work consistently on the road against the Yankees. That's what I'll tell you about that. So I don't think that they're going to do that. But if they could get 6-7 out of Reagans, they're going to be in it as much as anybody.
The Yankees are starting John Birdie at first base, and he's never played first base before.
Really?
Yeah. He's in the lineup. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Scroll on my phone. That's a hell of a choice to do in a ALDS game.
They're not going Rice? Okay, interesting. I didn't realize that.
John Birdie, as Marlins fans know, former Miami Marlin. Got to watch him a bunch during spring training right up the road. Starting John Birdie at first base for the New York Yankees in a home playoff game.
Yeah, you know who stinks? Stanton. Can't run.
Off the scoreboard because... Giancarlo Stanton runs like he's 75.
He can't move.
Incredible. He's so stiff. I know he's huge, but oh my God, dude.
No, he didn't used to. I mean, remember when he was with the Marlins? I feel like he can move a little bit, no?
He can move.
Is it because of all the injuries?
Like, it's because he's built himself like a bodybuilder. That's why.
Sure.
Druso and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Two games tonight, one going on right now, bottom three. With two outs, Tarek Skubal on the mound taking on the Guardians in Cleveland. Of course, the Royals and the Yankees facing off tonight on TBS. Bob Costas, once again, who had a rough call the other night.
What else?
7:38
PM,
first pitch.
For the record, I love Bob Costas, but similar to the Al Michaels thing,
Gleyber Torres is hitting a homer first inning, and the first thing Costas says is that would not be a homer in other ballparks. Bob, understand the moment. Bases loaded, bottom fifth. Yankees got some guys on, and you're talking about train tracks and everything. Bob, let's understand the moment a little bit.
And they lower the crowd noise because
did they lower it? I just thought
Bob Costas speaks a little bit quieter.
Maybe I just thought it was so. I just think that the energy was there in the building.
It certainly was. If you look at cell phone video,
energy was there.
Yeah.
Well, the TV did not do it justice because it looked dead in that stadium. Terrible. True Zone Reservoir Live here at ESPN 106.3. We're going to do some 5 at 5 next. Stick around. ESPN 106.3.